Welcome. We invited you yesterday to a spiritual practice homework assignment, and we'll be doing that again today. And Sarah Beach came to me this morning with a beautiful story, but wanted me to tell it. She was talking last night to Nancy Johnson, who has been to SI in the past a long time ago and is coming back after a long break, so they didn't know each other. And Sarah felt really blessed that Nancy, who has a great deal of physical difficulty herself, really paid attention to Sarah and her knee injury and gave her actually a good connection on what might help it here. So that felt like a real blessing between two former strangers. Please rise in body or spirit for opening hymn, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
As human beings, we share a tendency to scramble for certainty whenever we realize that everything around us is in flux. In difficult times, the stress of trying to find solid ground, something predictable and safe to stand on, seems to intensify. But in truth, the very nature of our existence is forever in flux. Everything keeps changing, whether we are aware of it or not. What a predicament. We seem doomed to suffer simply because we have a deep-seated fear of how things really are. Our attempts to find lasting pleasure, lasting security, are at odds with the fact that we are part of a dynamic system in which everything and everyone is in process. These words from Pema Chodron tell us that change is the very nature of our existence. Everything is always changing. How can we learn not to be afraid of some change? This morning, we'll explore. Come, let us worship together.
High in a far-off mountain, a little spring sprang from a hidden source. It flowed down the mountain over all different terrains, sometimes leaping and bubbling, sometimes lazily or going underground. But it was never stopped by any obstacle. Nothing had ever gotten in its way. One day, it reached the edge of a vast desert.
Just one more step. One more, one more, one more. Nothing has ever stopped me from flowing. Nothing can stop me. I will overcome this obstacle.
So the stream flung itself at the desert, but each time it did so, its waters simply disappeared, vanishing into nothingness, swallowed up by the dry, hot sand. But it was its destiny to cross the desert. It would surely find a way. The wind can cross the desert, and so can the stream.
I must try. The stream can cross. I know I must cross this desert. But every time I try, the sand swallows me up. No matter how hard I fling myself at this desert, I don't get any further.
You won't be able to cross the desert using the old ways. I am not like a boulder or a tree or rock ledge. It is no use hurling yourself at the desert like that. You will never cross the sand this way. You will simply disappear or turn into marshland. You must trust the wind to carry you across the desert. You must let yourself be carried.
How can the wind carry me across the desert?
You must let yourself be absorbed into the wind, and then the wind will carry you.
No, I am a stream with a nature and identity of my own. I don't want to lose myself by being absorbed into the wind.
That's what the wind does. Trust me, and trust the wind. If you let yourself be absorbed by the wind, it will carry you across the desert and let you fall on the other side to be a stream again.
But I won't be the same stream that I am now. I won't be this particular stream.
The desert understood the dilemma, but it also understood the mystery.
You're right.
I am?
You won't be the same stream you are now if you fling yourself into the sand and become a marsh. Let the wind carry you across the desert, and the real you, the heart of you, the essence of everything you truly are, will be born on the other side to flow a new course, to be a new river that you cannot even imagine from where you are standing now.
So the stream thought for a long while, but deep in its heart it had a memory of a wind that could be trusted and a horizon that was always out of reach, but always a new beginning. So the stream took a deep breath and surrendered itself to the power of the wind. And the wind took the vapor of the stream in strong and loving arms and carried it high above the desert, far beyond the horizon, and let it fall again softly at the top of a new mountain. And the stream began to understand who it really was and what it meant to be a stream.
Please join me in our hymn of affirmation, Return Again.
Like yesterday, we're going to incorporate some spiritual practices into the service. And I thought I'd start by saying I think meditation is for all ages because I learned to meditate first in my Unitarian Universalist religious education classes, I think by third grade. So this, I think, is a practice for all ages. And today's meditation is about change. So much of our lives are always changing, though sometimes we don't stop to notice that. So today we're going to stop and look, starting at home with our bodies. The funny thing about bodies is that when we're in pain or uncomfortable, sometimes it feels like the feeling always stays the same. And yet when we look closely and watch, we often find that even the sensations in our bodies are constantly changing. So please find a comfortable position. If you're smaller, you may find sitting cross-legged on the chairs more comfortable than letting your legs dangle. And as you are willing, please close your eyes and take a deep breath and another deep breath in and out. Now we are going to scan our bodies to see what they're up to. Let's start at our toes. Turn your inner attention, your inner eye, to your toes. If you'd like, wiggle them just a little to be sure you are focused on them. Feel how your toes are doing right now. If there's any tension or ache or funny feeling, sit with that feeling and watch it with your inner eye. When you're ready, move to your feet. If your feet don't feel like sitting still, watch that not wanting to sit still feeling and see what it feels like and how it changes. When you're ready, move on to your ankle, stopping to watch any tension or ache or funny feeling. It might get more intense or change to another feeling or fade. As you are ready, move your attention up your legs. Again, stopping anywhere you feel tension or pain or restlessness. Now in silence, I invite you to continue at your own pace, scanning up your body. If you reach the top of your head, you can turn around and come back down. We look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to softer, more permeable aliveness, which is in every moment at the brink of death, for something new is being born in us if we but let it. We stand at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes, daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love.
I wonder how many of you recognized yourselves in our story about the stream and the desert and the wind. I know I did. It seems like for many of us, our first reaction to change is resistance. Sometimes our second and third and fourth reactions to change are resistance too. I could give you lots of examples. I'll share just two. Yesterday afternoon, we had a rehearsal for our little story and all the wonderful people who helped us. Evan and I have communicated about most of the details about leading this service, but who was going to lead that rehearsal was something we didn't talk about. So, since she was late making it here from another obligation, I jumped in, and I thought that everything was going fine. But after Evan arrived, she had a different idea about how something in the story should happen. She wanted to make a change. And my first reaction to her suggestion was to feel irritated. I'm not sure why exactly. It wasn't like I was all that invested in how we were doing things, but well, for whatever reason, my first response was to be just a little bit snippy. It was small enough, though, and I got over it in a couple of minutes. Another instance of change in my life has been harder for me to adjust to. You see, for years and years and years, I've eaten the same way every day, basically three balanced meals with pretty minimal snacking in between. And I'm comfortable with my eating habits. I know how I eat. Since I've been pregnant, though, my body has needed me to eat differently. In the beginning, it needed me to eat differently because of that so inappropriately named morning sickness that lasts all day. Then in recent months, it's needed me to eat differently because I have less room in my stomach. I have felt these things happening to me, just like the stream felt its drops being absorbed when it flung itself into the dry, hot desert sands. And still, because I'm stubborn and resistant to change, I have too often persisted in eating like I usually do. And consequently, you'd think I learned my lesson by now, but I have not. I have had multiple experiences of eating what would normally be an average-sized meal for me and feeling like I have overindulged at a Thanksgiving Day feast. I'm 3/4 of the way through this pregnancy and still haven't figured out how to change how I eat. Why is it so hard to change? The Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says a big part of the problem is that we want certainty and a sense of constancy, when in fact the reality of the nature of things is that everything is always changing. Everything is always changing, and we are always changing too. Many of the cells in our bodies are regularly dying and regenerating at the rate of millions per second. Science confirms the meditation that we experienced earlier. Our bodies are truly not the same from moment to moment, and all we need to do to verify that is stop and check in and pay attention. The revelation about the nature of change is as intimate as our own bodies and as distant as the changes that are constantly happening in our evolving universe. Every moment is a new moment, and everything is forever in process. Now, we may be able to accept that notion intellectually, but accepting it emotionally and spiritually is the more difficult task. What can help us become less afraid, more accepting, more open to the changes in our lives? I think one step involves noticing. Many meditation practices and some yoga practices include taking time to notice the changes that we're experiencing in ourselves. Once we've noticed, the next step is to try and release judgment. So, for example, if today we cannot hold a particular yoga pose as long as we held it yesterday, accepting the change might first involve noticing the difference from day to day. deciding to accept the difference and instead of labeling it as wrong or bad. That choice to withhold judgment, at least initially, can work in many circumstances. I've seen many of our leaders here at Summer Institute modeling for us this year their efforts to cope with the changes that we've been experiencing as a community. Instead of complaining about the changes in location that Kenyon has asked us to make, our SI leaders have decided instead to acknowledge that moving to new dorms or new program spaces will be different for some of us, and they've chosen to withhold judgment about whether those new dorms and program spaces will in fact be better or worse than the ones we've had in previous years. Those are good first steps. Notice the change and try for a moment to withhold judgment, at least until we have more information. What can we do after that? The next step for the stream and our story was to choose trust. That can be very hard to do. But I have to say that many people here at SI have been modeling for that for us too, especially in relationship to the changes in the youth program. Our SI youth panel has been hard at work these last few months navigating and implementing changes to how the youth dorm is supervised. I've observed many people, both youth and adults, noticing those changes, withholding judgment about the changes while they got more information, and then choosing to trust the youth leaders and their adult advisors that they were making those changes in the best interest of our beloved community. Now, I'm not saying that that movement from noticing to trust is easy, nor am I saying that it's always advised. Sometimes we encounter changes that are truly not healthy for us or for our communities or for our planet, and those changes should be resisted. Knowing when to resist and when to accept is part of the spiritual discernment work each of us has to do for ourselves. Reinhold Niebuhr captured this so eloquently in what has come to be called the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So today we invite you into this spiritual practice. Here's your assignment. Maybe you're experiencing a little bit of change here at SI that has you slightly out of balance. Or maybe you're experiencing a change in your personal life which you're struggling to embrace. Today we invite you to take a moment to notice whether or not that change is one that you can do anything about. If it isn't, then we invite you to practice acceptance. Notice the changes, try to release judgment about them, and trust that you can navigate those changes, whatever they are. You might even be able to navigate them with some measure of grace. Perhaps you might sing the hymn, the line from the hymn that we sang earlier to yourself as a reminder. Will you join me? Don't be afraid of some change. Don't be afraid of some change. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. May it be so.
The choir will be singing a beloved song that's all about change, and we hope you will join us on the chorus.
Caught a dragonfly inside.
Go out into this day knowing that your journey is like the journey of the stream. The course is always changing, and you are changing with it, sometimes more dramatically than you can even imagine, and still the journey goes on. Just like the stream, we cannot flow in reverse, we can only go on. Go on today, trusting that you will find your way. Over, around, under, or through, you will find your way. Go on your way with a heart open to the journey. Amen.
Ice cream, tie-dye, pink hair and lots of drumming. Friends new and old, laughter and calm reflection. Spirit and love, engaging conversation. These are the bits that make this place SI.
Good morning. Okay, I'll start with the sad announcement. It's not that sad, but it's kind of sad. We are unable to arrange tubing and canoeing this year because do you know how high the river is? It's really high. So my phone is ringing. Please turn off your cell phones. Sorry. due to the river being so high from all the water that is here right now, did anyone else try to come on 229 from 23 and discover that the road was closed? It was a lake. There didn't used to be a lake there, but there is right now. So unfortunately, we are not able to go tubing this year. It's especially unfortunate because, man, would we well like to be in the water because it's hot out there. There has been a lost... A wallet has been lost, and it belongs to a child close to being youth age, and so there is no ID in it. It's a brown wallet that has some cash and two gift cards. So if anyone finds that, check with us if you find lost things first, the planning committee, and we'll try to figure out if it belongs to SI, and if not, we would then pass it on to the university because there are other folks here with us. But we are looking for a brown wallet that has some cash and two gift cards in it. Additionally, I have in my possession two phones. One was found here in Ross Hall last night, about 10 rows back in the dead center of the room, and another one was handed to me this morning, and a third one is walking up to the stage right now. I have three phones in my possession that have been lost. So I will hang on to the phones, but in case you don't know this yet, we do have a lost and found, a found area, I suppose, in the, it's also lost if someone lost it. In the dining hall lobby, in the Pierce Hall lobby, as you're entering there, there are two very large bulletin boards on the left as you come around the space into the open glass ceiling. And you'll see lots of things pinned up there. Those are our signs. That's our space for communicating with each other this week. There is also a box on a table directly under the lost and found sign, and ideally that's where things will end up. I will not leave things of value in there, though. So the phones, for instance, I'll keep with me, and we'll let people know that they're here. I already said that part. we've had a request to remind folks in our community to respect the food service lines and respect the fact that this is a professional licensed kitchen and that they have regulations. And if we handle things incorrectly, for instance, reaching with our own hands over a serving line to take food that is not yet set out for us to serve, that entire tray of food has to be sacrificed. That's a health department regulation, and that is something that happened yesterday. So please only take from the serving places and use tongs and use spoons and things like that. And if something is out and you can see more of it, get the attention of someone behind the counter and they'll make the transition for us. They're working really hard to keep up with us back there. So try to respect that and kindly suggest to smaller hands that might be trying to do that that we wouldn't do that, please. Monte Carlo night is tonight. Do you feel lucky? You should come to Monte Carlo night. Tonight, Monte Carlo night, if you aren't familiar with it yet, is something that's become an annual event. It's great fun. Our young adults host it. It will be in the Thompson Dining Hall. That's the new dining hall without the adventure hump in the middle of it. And so one thing to know about this happening tonight is that that means that that dining room closes a little early from supper time. So we need to close that and clear it out at 6 p.m. Dinner starts at 5. So you've got a good hour if that's your preferred dining side. And we'll start booting people along a little bit at 6 o'clock so that the young adults can set that up. Monte Carlo night is what it sounds like. It's betting with fake money, and it's a fundraiser for the scholarship fund. So everyone who comes to Monte Carlo night is, first of all, guaranteed to have fun, will be given some money when you walk in the door, and you're going to be betting on really high-stakes games like Go Fish and Apples to Apples and all of those kinds of things. So we do have a lot of fun. The young adults get into this a lot. You will see some of their best finery, and I mean that. You will. You will be surprised at the gowns and things that you will see. Yes? Yes. The contra dance is happening this evening as well at 6:30, and that again is going to be in Gund Commons, which is the room where we registered. It is not in the Pierce Dining Hall with the Adventure Hump, which is not good for dancing. I think last but not least, also happening this evening at 9:30 in the pub, which will be open by then. This is our late evening activity time as well. This is the night of our open mic night, which we are doing for the first time. And I believe we're going to be hosted at open mic night by Mike Fry, who is the chair of the, one of the co-chairs of the young adult panel. As a part of this, we want to introduce something new this year. We want to have an SI Story Slam. If you are familiar with the Moth Radio programs and regional and national competitions of storytelling on NPR, we're thinking along the lines of this. So we want you to bring your 3 to 5 minute stories, SI memorable moments, and sign up and come and tell your story. And I'm told that there are fabulous prizes that will be offered for the Story Slam. I believe that's everything that we have. Again, I have 3 phones with me. If you hear of anyone looking for phones, tell them to come see me. Thank you very much. We are at 9:11, so we have time to get children to their classes and to be back here at 9:30 for theme talk. Thank you.